You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Again, as together as one service is wonderful, we want to choose texts when we do this that are specifically and beautifully chosen to exalt the one true risen King, Jesus Christ. Why is that important? As we gather together as one service here, Jesus is the reason we exist. Jesus is the reason this church exists. And Jesus is the reason that our hope exists. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's so good. Amen. And that is why then hope together really is an opportunity for us to be reminded of the eternal hope that we share together in Jesus Christ. So there's wonderful purpose in this service. I'm going to spend a few moments in John chapter 1. If you had the chance to open a Bible, it may be hard again for some. I'll read it for us right now. John 1, the first five verses, says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Notice, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Father, I pray right now that you will choose to bless your word, to exalt your name, and to encourage and edify your church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we learn here in this text about what comes up again most often, this term, the word? Here's what we learn about the word. Number one, the word is God. The word is God. Some of you are confused. Let's bring some clarification to that. Again, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. For those that have a Bible, that's capital W, Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, notice, and the Word was God. You may not know this. This is one of the most elevated statements of Jesus Christ found in the entire Bible, certainly in the New Testament. Unlike the other Gospels, John starts at the very beginning. I mean, the very beginning. In Mark's Gospel, he starts with the ministry of John the Baptist. Luke's Gospel starts with the birth narratives of John the Baptist and Jesus. Matthew's Gospel begins with the genealogy going back as far as Abraham, proving that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. Not to be outdone, Luke's Gospel doubles down, and in chapter 3 of Luke's Gospel, he traces Jesus back to the genealogy of Adam, back to the beginning of the human race. But what does John do here? John goes before John the Baptist, before Abraham, and before Adam. John's Gospel takes us literally to the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand that the capital W Word here, we'll explain more in a second, refers to Jesus Christ. I want you to notice right away, the Word was with God, and yet the Word was God. How can you be with God, and how can you be God at the same time? That's an inference and a truth relating to the Trinity of one God and three persons. There is one God existing in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a direct statement to that right there, again, in the first verse of John Gospel. Now, it is true that a seminary course could be offered on these two verses as we begin here alone. But here's the life-changing truth. We learn this. Jesus Christ is the Word, capital W, Word. This is the Greek word logos. Jesus is the Word. You can say it this way. He is the embodiment of God, or He is the expression of God. This is what it's saying in green right here. So what does that make sense? How do we understand that? That Jesus is the capital W, Word. Well, when God wants to reveal His heart and mind to us, He uses His Word to do so. Think about it. If you and I, if we want to reveal what's inside, again, what's really inside, we must communicate on some level with other people. You can only stare at someone from a distance for so long, and you can only gain so much knowledge about them. At some point, if you want to reveal what's truly inside and who you are, you must communicate again at some point with words. You must communicate what's inside. When God wanted to reveal His heart and mind to the people of this earth, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as in His Word, Jesus Christ, again, as
communicated here in John chapter 1. God revealed his heart to us by sending his son. This makes sense too, because in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, long ago God spoke to us by the prophets. But now he has spoken to us by his son, Hebrews 1 verse 2 says. So Jesus then is the expression of God. We learn here in verse 1 that the word is eternal, that the word has always existed, that the word is God. Why is that important? Maybe you're here, this is new to you. This means that Jesus was not a created being, that Jesus has always existed because he is God eternal. Notice John summarizes verse 1 with a very short verse 2. He says in verse 2, notice personal pronoun, he was in the beginning with God. So notice he, Jesus Christ, is a person. Jesus Christ, again, the second person of the Trinity. This verse, by the way, blows up cults. This verse blows up other religions that try to say Jesus was created. No, Jesus Christ has always existed. So this is why then, when the word comes to earth, Christmas, when God himself arrives, this means the world will never be the same again. So we love the Bible here at Hope Bible Church. We love the Bible, but we always remember that the word, as in the Bible, ultimately points to the word, capital W word, Jesus Christ. We learn here that the word is God. Secondly, we see this, the word is creator. Look at verse 3. It says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John's argument keeps growing here. The word is God, and the word is the creator, again, of the world. So verse 3 is so clear. All things were made through Jesus Christ. All things were made through the word. In your face, grade 10 biology, amen? Right? This is what we're learning here. Jesus is so much more than a friend. Jesus Christ, he is that. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. But there's more in verse 3. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is a major statement here in Scripture. Jesus Christ is the reason for everything that exists. Jesus Christ has created not most of creation, but all of creation has been created through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to some of these astounding facts, again, on creation. Did you know that the word universe declares God's glory? In the Greek, the word universe is uni, meaning single, and verse, meaning a spoken sentence. So the universe is God's spoken creation, again, as it came to be. We live looking at a single spoken sentence, all created through Jesus Christ. Did you also know that there are actually enough stars in the universe that if each person in the world personally owned, again, they were divvied up among the people on earth, each person on earth would personally own 125 trillion stars themselves. That's how many stars are estimated in the universe. There are far more stars in the universe than grains on sand, again, throughout the earth. Wow. Did you know that the earth is traveling at 66,000 miles per hour through space right now? Who's controlling that order? Jesus Christ is. How about this? If all the chromosomes from one person's DNA were stretched out connecting end to end, it would stretch from the earth to the moon and back 5 million times. Mind-blowing. Wow. If you were to type out every piece of code found in DNA, you would have enough books of code to fill the entire Grand Canyon 40 times. How much is that? I'm not quite sure, but it sounds like a lot. Jesus Christ didn't create some of it. He didn't create most of it. Jesus Christ created all of it. The Word is God and the Word is Creator. But there's more. We also learn this. The Word is life. Look at verse 4 now. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So for sure here, what is John communicating? For sure he's communicating Jesus is the source of physical life. We just learned that actually again from the previous verse. It's Jesus right now that allows our hearts to beat, allows our lungs to breathe, allows our brains, I pray, to work. It's Jesus who does that. Jesus allows our existence. In fact, everyone right now, just take a deep breath. Go ahead. Inhale and exhale. Go ahead. Oh, that's the Lord Jesus Christ right there, allowing you to breathe at this moment. So Jesus is the source of physical life, but Jesus is also the source, so importantly, of spiritual life, because Jesus is life itself. This is why Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Yes, you're listening. That is awesome. You know what's interesting? Many people have commented, the main essentials to exist in this life are what? They say it's light, air, water, and food. There might be more again, but the main essentials to exist in this life, light, air, water, and food. Isn't it fascinating? In John's gospel alone, Jesus Christ says in John 8, I am the light of the world. It's Jesus who gives the breath of life. Again, in John's gospel, in John 22, and in John 3, referring to the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus in John 4 that dispenses living water. It's Jesus in John 6 that says, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is, spiritually speaking, light, air, water, and food. When you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for this life and for all of eternity. This is why Jesus is so much more than a good prophet or a good man or a good moral teacher. Jesus Christ is life itself. And in a life where so many people are desperately searching for meaning, some are here right now. It could be over there. It could be over there. It could be in the middle. It could be behind me. I mean, just think of the baptisms today. Incredibly powerful testimonies of saying, I looked at the world. It did not satisfy. I met Jesus Christ, and I will never be thirsty again because Jesus Christ is life. And maybe you're here right now. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're older than that. Maybe you've been searching, and this world doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't satisfy. It never produces what it says it will produce because everything ultimately is leading us and pointing us to embrace and bow and surrender and to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord alone and Jesus Christ is the only one who can ultimately satisfy. Again, so encouraged to be together today to understand it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Malcolm Muggeridge was a famous British author who was converted again a bit later in life to Christianity. He became quite famous. This is what he said about his experience and encounter with Jesus Christ. He said this, I may suppose regard myself as a relatively successful man. People occasionally stare at me in the streets. He says, that's fame. I can easily earn enough to qualify for the mission to the highest slopes of the eternal revenue. He says, that's success. Furnished with money and a little fame, even the elderly, if they care to, may partake in a little trendy diversions. He says, that's pleasure. He goes on to say, it might happen once in a while that something I said or wrote was sufficiently heated for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on our time. He says, that's fulfillment. Then he says this, yet I say to you and beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by a million, add them all together, and they are nothing. They are less than nothing, indeed not even a positive impediment when measured against one drop of that living water Jesus Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who or what they are. And to that we say amen. That is so well said. Jesus Christ, again, is the Word. He is Creator. He is life. Finally, briefly, we learn this from our text. The Word is victorious. Can I get an amen? The Word is victorious. Look at verse 5 now. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just think, loved ones here today, listen, nothing ever will stop the light. Do you see the word overcome there? The darkness has not overcome it. That means the darkness has not overpowered it. The darkness has not comprehended it. The darkness cannot extinguish it. It's interesting, in the first four verses, John has written in the past tense. But now in verse 5, John switches to the present tense. Why is that important? He says this, the light shines on, meaning the light will never be extinguished. The light shines today and shines tomorrow and shines next week. The light has shone through Jesus Christ from the moment again he came, he died, he rose from the dead, and he sent his Spirit again to start the church. Loved ones, the light will always shine, and no one and nothing will ever be able to cause the light to cease to exist. So, are you fearful right now of a darkening society? Take courage, the light will shine on. Are you anxious again around geopolitical disruptions? Take heart, loved one, the light shines on. Are you losing sleep over the future of the church? Have faith, the light shines on. Are you frightened of the forces of evil that seem to be increasing and winning? No, 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 no. Listen, the light shines on. What you might need to do, as I need to do, is memorize verse 5 and carry it with you to remind yourself often when you're confronted with doubts or fears to remember that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it and the darkness will never overcome it. The light is so utterly victorious. In fact, even when the light is killed, even when Jesus Christ is murdered, the light will raise from the dead. The light will defeat death itself and Satan and sin. And the light, Jesus Christ, will never die again. This is how victorious the light we serve and love that is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. This is why the Word of God is so utterly awesome, because He is so eternally victorious. And one day soon, listen, one day soon, He's going to return and we will see His victory in full display and full glory. This is why we live. This is our hope together. This is the purpose of this service. This is why we are encouraged yet again. So, Jesus is the reason we exist. Jesus is the reason this church exists. Jesus is the reason our hope exists. And Jesus is the reason our song exists as well. Lord Jesus, I pray You will use this time. Now, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, I pray You will take this time and through Your word, these moments, You will use it to encourage us again for the purpose and reason for our existence, the hope we have in Jesus Christ, and the reality of Your glory that will soon be revealed. Even as we sing now, Lord, use it. Use it in such a great way. Thank You for today. Thank You for song. Thank You for prayer. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for baptisms. Thank You for Jesus. And we ask again that You will strengthen us, encourage us, and allow us to continue to serve You in amazing ways here at Hope Bible Church and in the years to come. We pray this now in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen. Amen. Let's stand and finish our service together. Amen.